Have a seat. You know, if I had to pick one person from the Bible who most closely matches my understanding of growing in faith, I think it would have to be Peter, particularly from our first reading today. For all the criticisms that we can make about Peter, and there are many, Peter has to be one of the most real people I can think of. Sure, there are biblical heroes, epic characters with amazing stories, and givers and receivers of miracles, but there are only a few that make me feel like they could be actual people walking around today. And of them, I think Peter might be my favorite. His journey of faith causes him to do some truly amazing things, like walk on water. It also causes him to do some truly doofus things, like when he refuses to let Jesus wash his feet, only to change his mind and declare that not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Every time I hear that, I think, Peter, relax, you got the job. It's important to recognize that Peter is not always a doofus, and he's not always enlightened. He flows from one end of that spectrum to the other throughout his story in the New Testament. The one common trait that he embodies throughout all of this is that he tries. He tries to get it right all the time, in spite of his own ignorance, in spite of his own character flaws. Sometimes Peter gets it just right, and sometimes he's his own worst enemy. Does that sound familiar to you? Could that describe your faith journey as well? I would claim it as mine. Our faith may be in Jesus Christ, but Peter sure does give us all hope. If we could name one major antagonism that Jesus was dogged with in his earthly ministry, we might say it was the establishment's complaining of him socializing with outcasts, tax collectors, prostitutes, foreigners, and the like. It seems those interactions are what get Jesus into the most trouble with the authorities. You would have thought that Christ's defeat of the powers of death by his glorious resurrection would put all those arguments to bed. Apparently not. In our first reading from Acts today, we witness Peter being confronted with the same tired old arguments about allowing outsiders to get close to God, like tax collectors and prostitutes and the like. Here's criticism once again. And this time, it isn't even Peter's own character flaws, but it's for his faithful following of Jesus' teachings. We read today, "Why do you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" That's the question Peter is asked by the locals in Jerusalem. It's the same kind of question the Pharisees asked Jesus in the Gospels of both Matthew and Luke. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? The accusation of the question is, if this Jesus guy and you, Peter, as his disciple, are so righteous and so pure, what on earth are you doing defiling yourself with the likes of those people? Note this. They ask it as if those people are somehow powerful enough in their assumed uncleanness and unrighteousness to cancel out the love and grace of God. Let that sink in for a moment. Could a mere mortal, and a sinful one at that, be powerful enough to interrupt the love and grace of God? That would be some powerful person. The assumption itself is blasphemous according to church doctrine. But here's the thing. It's not the doctrinal hang-ups of the locals and the Pharisees that's the concern for us today. Our concern lies in how we respond to such criticism in our own time. Peter, like many of us, finds himself in an in-between space of sorts. He's a good Jew, and he's also a disciple of Jesus, who was also a good Jew, but who constantly challenges the establishment that decides what being a good Jew means. Peter wants to maintain the traditions. There's beauty in tradition. There's identity, solidarity with others. Whenever those traditions excluded others, Jesus pushed back. Jesus taught that God's grace, love, and salvation are available even to those people outside the boundaries of Jewish tradition. Peter and the other disciples were presented with this lesson over and over again. The job of discipleship is to find a way to balance the narrow way of tradition with the accessibility of salvation, and to do so with grace and love for one another. We can measure the growth and development of our own faith by how we respond to those in-between moments we find ourselves in. When our faith is challenged by the people and events around us, are we able to respond with grace and peace and love? We're given a wonderful example today of how the teachings of Jesus play out in everyday living. Being a good Jew, Peter is clear about the dietary restrictions of his tradition. And then a sheet, like a great picnic blanket, floats down to him, carrying a feast. When Peter sees what's on the menu, he knows better than to partake of those foods. But then God says, go ahead, eat. Here's that in-between moment. Peter is trying hard to be good. Eat, God says. Peter resists a little bit more as within himself he negotiates this challenge to his understanding and his traditions. Three times this happens in his process of growing in his faith. Peter tries hard. That's what I appreciate so much about him. How he sees his place in the world is important. How he functions as a person with a religious discipline is part of his relationship that he has with millions of Jews who came before him and, unbeknownst to him, all the many generations that will come after him. Doing something that reverses those generations of wisdom puts him in a very uncomfortable in-between position. But then God reveals to Peter the nature of God's relationship to humanity. God says, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Perhaps those words sent Peter back into his memory when God did all the making of all the things back in Genesis. We read that after the work of creating everything, God says, we read, God saw all that was made and said, it's very good. And so Peter realizes in this moment that people were created by God, whether Jewish or not, and we are good. His efforts and trying and struggling in those challenging in-between moments pay off in the wisdom that he gains from this vision. God hates nothing that God has made, and it is not for us to deny the goodness in one another. When questioned by the local authorities about eating with uncircumcised people, the lesson learned from the vision and the words of the Holy Spirit guide Peter's response. Who was Peter to hinder the saving work of God? Who was Peter to get in the way of the Holy Spirit? Just as Jesus spent time with non-Jews, foreigners, outcasts, lepers, and so forth to bring them the good news of salvation, so too was Peter to do the same as Jesus' disciple. The job of being a disciple is to follow the lead of God, not to direct God. Too often we put up obstacles to God's saving love. In our anxiety, we create obscene rules meant to exclude those people from Jesus, whoever those people might be. There's a line of theology that says humanity's fatal flaw is the belief that there is only so much of God's love to go around. The devil's greatest achievement has been to trick us into believing that only we have full access to this limited love. If others want to get into heaven, they'll have to conform to our way of doing faith. Overcoming this is the real challenge for our faith. In our own personal lives, we sometimes hold ourselves up to impossible standards of piety that end up alienating ourselves from Jesus rather than bringing us closer to him. I've heard it said, "Well, I can't take communion unless I've fasted all night." And then I hear the regret when that person nicks a cookie from the fellowship hall before the service and says, "Oh, no communion for me. I've eaten the cookie." Now ask yourself one question. Is that cookie powerful enough to impede the love and grace of God? That would be some cookie. In Peter's vision, he never seems to eat any of the food that God provides. The sheet filled with animals for eating is whisked away, untouched, back up to heaven. God was offering Peter a new kind of communion of sorts. Can you imagine how cool it would be to go on a personal, private picnic with God? Because Peter refused to eat what God set before him and then argues with God about righteousness and purity and faith, right in front of the God who is the origin of purity and faith, God says, "Don't tell me what I've made is unclean. I'm going to take my picnic and go." Peter realizes in that moment what he just missed out on, a personal, private picnic with God. Grace itself was teetering on the brim of a cup, just waiting to runneth over and spill over everything. And Peter pushed it away because of some artificial notion of purity meant to keep him away from grace and welcoming God closer to him. Peter learns a really important lesson, and so do we. God is always in pursuit of us, always has been, since the very beginning. It's been the overzealous activities of human anxiety that have put up obstacles to God. Our job as children of God is to let God catch us. That will mean loosening our grip on the things we insist must be in order to take hold of things that are. My sisters, my brothers, and my non-binary siblings in Christ, God loves you. God loves you like crazy and is ready to invite you to a picnic. Accept it. Accept the love, the invitation. And don't let anything get in the way of basking in the knowledge of that. So let us try not to be our own worst enemies when it comes to growing our faith. How we respond in our everyday moments is where we grow and develop in our faith. The in-between times when what we've come to understand are challenged by the things that God puts in front of us in that moment give us an opportunity to level up. Sometimes we'll get it right, and sometimes we'll watch as an opportunity is whisked away from us. Of all of the disciples, I think Peter is the one who gets the most attention because he's the one who tries, takes a risk, who gets it wrong, and is sometimes reprimanded for it. But he never lets that stop him from trying again to get it right. How would your faith journey look if you took Peter as your role model? Would it cause you to try harder than you might have before? Would it cause you to be more willing to take a risk, to be fearless and brave? Would it make you more thoughtful of your responses in a moment so that the divine picnic blanket doesn't get away before you can take a bite? We know Peter gets it right in the end, because people start treating him the way they treated Jesus. When we begin to experience the pushback that Jesus and Peter experienced, then we'll know we're also getting discipleship right by our efforts. those in-between places are actually really good places to be. They indicate to us that we're ready to take the next step closer to God. When you find your faith challenged by an individual or by an event, try to think of it as a growth moment. And how you respond in that moment will determine how you grow in faith and love. Of his in-between moment, Peter says, "Who was I that I could hinder God?" That's a good question to take home this week and think about as you go along in your daily activities. Faith is real, just as Peter is real. And God's love is stronger than any of our character flaws and doofus moments. The love and grace of God, the maker of all things, is teetering on the brim of each and every one of us, and our cups full of God's love, ready for us to allow it to spill over. Will you let the cup of God's love runneth over? Will you eat your fill of the bread of heaven? God is always providing us opportunities for us to try and grow in our faith. And that's the good news.